Welcome back to a new season of the Lighting Your Way podcast. I could not be happier to start off season 7 with my guest, Damali Stansberry, MSW, LMSW. Damali is Guardian Nurses extraordinary and multi-talented social worker. Grab yourself a drink, sit back, and enjoy our conversation. Welcome to the podcast, Damali Stansberry. It's good to have you here and be one of our first guests for the new season.
Oh, thank you. Such an honor. Appreciate it.
I hope you think that. Yeah, thank you. I've been a little rusty. I've also been recovering from a little pneumonia. So I'll apologize up front if I'm a little rusty. So I wanted to have you on because I think, you know, Guardian Nurses is the majority of our folks are nurses. The large majority, you are our only social worker, no pressure. Mm-hmm. And during the COVID pandemic, we saw from our nurses a lot of social determinants of health needs, right? Food insecurities and housing mm-hmm. issues and just mental health issues for sure, which the nurses dealt with. But it mm-hmm. became clear to me that we needed additional help. And I reached out to you through another relationship that you were mm-hmm. working in tourism in Philadelphia mm-hmm. yes. and asked if you would consider coming on board. I mean, that's really how we got started. That was how many years ago? A couple of years ago.
2 years ago.
Three. Oh, wow. It's been 3 years? Yeah. Oh, happy anniversary.
Yes. Oh, thank you.
So talk about your, I guess let's talk about your background. How did you get take a path into social work? Because as I said, you were working in tourism.
Yes. So I was working in tourism, and that's my profession. Well, it was my professional stage, but in my personal life, I was doing a lot of social work. I guess what you wouldn't say social work. I was doing a lot of community initiatives and also making sure that the needs of where I was residing, my church family, personal family, needs were being taken care of. So started out doing things for my church, whether it was community baby showers, food distributions, things for the youth in the area, Advent camp, and was enjoying doing that. And then a lot of times people would come up to me and said, have you ever thought about social work? And I said, no, I'm not really interested in that. Just to be honest, at that time, I only had one view of social work, which was working in DHS or Child Youth Protective Services.
Okay.
So kept doing that. And then also I was a mother. So I was advocating for the needs of, you know, my son in school and social wise and things that he needed to do. And then also, fortunately, I had a parent that got sick. And so was helping out my mother and, you know, deal with that as well, making sure my father's needs were met. So a lot of that came into play as doing social work duties. Okay. But I kept on shying away from it because I'm like, this is just my job. This is just what I do. I don't need a title to do that.
Okay.
Fast forward, was working, you know, doing my own thing. And one of an acquaintance of mine said, you know, I'm opening up this new agency and I think you would be a good benefit as working as a behavioral assistant with the youth and turning their needs around, you know, working with them, all types of kids, behavioral concerns, autism, you know, ADHD, PTSD, that sort of thing. And I kept on again shying away from it. I didn't want to do it. Finally, I did it. They told me I was doing it because, again, I'm a proud introvert and I like to do things behind the scenes. And they pushed me out there and said, you're doing it and you're going to try it and you're going to see how good you are at it. So that's what I did.
Okay. All right. They just put you in the role. Whether you know, all right, yeah. You're doing it.
Yes. So they put me on the role and then was working with clinicians that were licensed clinicians. And soon they were asking me, what did I think about this? What type of behaviors were, triggers? What could I do to intervene? And they started treating me like I was part of their teammate, that I was their peer. And they said to me, "Have you ever thought about going to school for social work? Because you actually know all these things." And I said, "No, I'm staying in my lane. This is what I do." And finally, the same person says, "You're signing up for a master's in social work and you're going to do it." And I did it. And here
Wow.
we are
Wow. That
from
is great.
2019.
That's great. So when you were in the program, like, were there any misgivings? Like, what am I doing here?
Yes, there were. It was a misgiving in terms of I was in class with my peers, students that were my son's age. So I was one of the older ones, seasoned. I was one of the seasoned students.
Atta girl, that's good. Seasons, right.
But the thing about it was, it didn't feel like it was seasoned and non-seasoned. Everybody was there for the same thing, and everybody got along, and everybody was real close because we were a cohort, So that was a good thing about it.
And when
So.
you did, like in nursing, when we do other, we do rotations, was there a rotation that like really resonated with you? Is that how social work school works?
Yeah, so we call it field work. And I did my field work employment based with the agency that I was working with, except my role now was as a clinician. So I had to do the treatment plans, I had to do the assessments, and I had to do everything our clinicians do under the guise of a licensed clinical social worker. But that really gave me the in-depth point of view of how things came about, working with the schools, working with the families, not only working with the youth, but making sure that the families were okay, because I am from the belief that if the parents are not right or the caregiver's not right, how do you expect the child to be right? So working with the family holistically and see how everything worked in terms of the agencies, the insurance, the authorizations. So it gave me a very good background in that.
So you graduate and
Yes.
you're at an LMSW, right? You've taught me the
Yes.
difference.
Yes.
So
So in
explain the
Pennsylvania,
differences in the
sure. So in Pennsylvania, in New Jersey, I'm at LSW, and in New York, I'm at LMSW. And it's basically the same thing. It's just different states have different credentials. So the LSW is a precursor to be an LCSW, which is a licensed clinical social worker, which is the next level.
And then the LMSW is a licensed medical
Licensed
social
master
worker?
social worker. Yes, licensed
Master.
master social worker.
There's a lot of initials, so you got to
Yes.
get them right.
Yes.
Okay, so let's fast forward to guardian nurses, and
Okay.
I approach you and say, "Hey, I think we need a social worker on our team to help our nurses." And
Yes.
I say, "What do you think about that?" And tell me about that. What was your reaction to that?
I was balking a little bit. I'm gonna be honest, Betty, because then again, I'm like, okay, I'm more seasoned than I was before. This is a life changing step, because I was in the medical industry a little bit before I went into tourism. But it wasn't, this was really going to be it. This is going to be a change for me. I was in the tourism industry for almost 23 years. But then I figured out, it's like, hey, Damali, you went to school and you did it and you survived that. Why not try and see what you can do? And if, and you know, and I'm glad I did, because I stepped out on faith. I saw what I'm able to do. It's not as scary as I thought. And I think that if I did, I would have been sitting there wondering what could have been.
Well, thank you. And knowing now, you know, what you went through with the masters, I should have just said, you're coming on board, Damali. We're hiring you and you're coming on board. Okay, darn it. I should have tried that. No, it's been, listen, I mean, you created a position, right? So to your point, we didn't have a role, and I think I said to you, you're going to create this role, and you have done a wonderful job of you know, making yourself invaluable to us, because, you know, like I said, we didn't have somebody as talented as you. It comes with all the experience that you have, but it's also so helpful to our patients. I mean, some of the stories that I've heard, that where you've been, you know, where our nurse we'll reach out to you and say, hey, Damali, I think I might be able to use you in this case. And, you just come along and been a breath of fresh air. So is there, you think back on the stories, no, you're welcome. I mean, you really have been a integral part of our team and really have helped us raise the bar on what we can offer our clients. And I think they benefit, we all benefit, both, but mostly the patients. So is there one or two stories you can tell us about in terms of where you feel you've had the most impact?
And this was hard because from all the stories that I've experienced while I'm here, we could be on here for about another 2 hours. but one of the things I always tell the individuals or the members that I'm working with is that it's my job to work my way out of this quote unquote job, right? And I say that because when I work my way out of the job, that means I left that member better than I found them. If that makes sense.
Oh, absolutely. You're empowering the patient to either step up for themselves or know how to handle it the next time without you.
Yes, and they're stable and they're at a good point. So working with a variety of individuals, just thinking of one that stood out and one that we really went out for was working with a member, as with all the members, very hard workers, very family oriented. And unfortunately, this individual got sick and did not have any income coming in, was not able to work. And basically, when you lose that sense of self, it's not a good feeling. So they were focusing on not on their health, but getting back to work and making sure that they could provide for their family, which in this case, at this point in time, was not really realistic. So when I go in there, talk to the member, and I try to go from a point of vantage that I'm there with you. I'm not there to tell you what to do. I'm not there to tell you what you need. We work through it together. And I think that's the point of compassion, is that, you know, I'm going to suffer through this with you to make sure that you get to where you need to go or where you need to be.
Okay.
And this individual, you know, working with them and, you know, they're trying to get back into work and just sitting them down, developing that rapport with them to say, okay, I understand where you're coming from, but let's be a little bit realistic here. And this is what we can do. And let's take it one point at a time. So this member focusing me to get back to work, had a tough talk with them that, you know, at this time that may not be possible. So let's break it down into pieces to see if we can get you back to work, but right now this is what you need. So the member needed disability, social security disability, Medicaid, food stamps, see if we can get them cash assistance through the state. And at times they're proud and they don't want that, you know, that resources, but you let them know that this is just temporary. Mm-hmm. When you get better, we can switch off. So the member was working with me. We were working with each other. And I guess they got to a spot where they just got some news and that they did not want to hear. And their whole world crashed.
Oh.
Working with the nurse advocate, realizing that something wasn't right. member wasn't responding. And I work with the nurse to say, okay, what you going to do? You know, I rev up my car, we can shoot right down there. And when we didn't hear from him, we went down there. We went down there unannounced.
You went to his home?
Yep. And he came out. And you know, it wasn't the point of that that member was world crashing down, but they felt that they disappointed us. And they were shocked that cared enough for them to say, like, hey, what's going on? And riding out that way and saying, you know, we were worried about you. And from that impact and from that point, that member knew and even stated that they knew that we were there for them as a person. And we cared about them as a person. So after we rehashed everything and let them know that everything was okay, you know, we're not disappointed, we're worried about you. So, you know, I went from the viewpoint of what can I do to help you get back on track? Remember, know what we needed, you know, what he needed from me. And we worked on that. And we got through that. And also when members, and this particular member saw that we were there for them, they literally said that I appreciate and I listen to what you're saying to me and suggest to me because I know you're coming from a good place.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah.
And fortunately, we got that member back to where they needed to be, and they got their stuff. They got their Medicaid. They got their food stamps. Stuff was looking up, you know, and they felt at a better place that they now can concentrate on their health and work on that to get back to, hopefully, back to work.
Okay.
So for that one, just seeing the member's face and seeing their eyes when he saw us at the door, to say like, wow, like you came to make sure
either, okay. Either he said, uh-oh, Damali's right here.
But also the fact that, you know, that they understood. And a lot of times when members, they feel that relationship with you, they'll start telling you things about their lives, like what did they do when they were in high school, the neighborhood, their family dynamics. Sometimes things that you do not want to know.
Right.
But they feel
TMI. Whoa, timeout.
Yes. It feels comfortable telling you that. And it's rewarding because you start to wonder, like, how many people they have come in contact with that didn't care even what they ate today.
Oh.
Or how they felt.
Wow. I hesitate to, or I hate to think about how many people in the healthcare system didn't ask or care. But to your point, it's about the relationship, right?
Yes. I remember one member that I worked with a long time ago that says, when you find somebody that cares, you hang on to them.
Wow.
And it could be that one person, and you're that one person that's their world because you're the only person that listens.
Isn't it, there was a quote, nobody cares how much you know until they know how much you care.
And it's quite evident in this field of work.
Wow. Well, and I think I've said that it's 2024 now, and I think that the healthcare system had an enormous burden to bear with the pandemic. We're coming out of that. We're seeing the effects on staffing and on people's disposition, really. And I do believe that, to your point about compassion, that the healthcare system currently is experiencing a crisis of compassion. For you to care as much as you did to drive down there with the nurse and knock on his door, I love that, right? I love that he, you know, it's pretty clear that you cared, that you came out to see if he was okay, which is a very compelling argument to stay with you.
Yes. Looking up the word really of what compassion is, and I Remember, Oxford Dictionary said that compassion is the sympathetic pity and concern for the sufferings or misfortunes of others. But then when I really delve into it, it really means to suffer together. So when you speaking with that member is, what can we do? How can I help you? Even caregivers, because everyone needs a sense of normalcy, right? And the disease and disorder is something that they can't control. But what they can control, they want that sense of normalcy. So you ask them, you know, what are their likes? What are their dislikes? And a lot of time their faces light up because it's just somebody really took the time to ask them those questions. And it might be simple questions. You might say, okay, somebody asked me, you know, what my favorite color is. Mm-hmm. But all that they're going through, that one miracle question may change their whole world. And I think that's what's valuable to guardian nurses, is that we take the time to actually not know only the member, but know their caregivers, know their family, know the dynamics.
Right.
And that's
to your point, you're creating a team and you're part of the team. Mm-hmm. You know, the nurse is part of the team, the caregiver is part of the team, and hopefully the physician, the nurses that are actually treating the patient are part of the team as well. But I think that also speaks to the value of guardian nurses, is that when we are with the clinical team that's actually treating the patient, we can bring that information to them where they may not have the time that we do to say, hey, Mr. Smith was a pole vaulter in you know, high school, and it's really important to him that he gets back to working out or something, right? I know that's a trite comparison, but I think that the value of what you do for us is to keep us, I don't want to say honest, but we're nurses, we're focused on the clinical. We do obviously think about the whole family and the impact. And because the model of this program is to be able to reach out, to be able to drive to the home without concern about time, that your additional support is keeping us, I guess, keeping it front of mind that it is powerful to have that time and that care to ask about, this is what happens, or don't forget to ask this. Because I know that many of the nurses have talked to me about your support of them, right, in that, in the role that they have, because sometimes it gets a little heavy to deal with someone who's got a life-threatening diagnosis or a family that's dysfunctional and can't help the patient like we'd like them to.
Definitely.
Well, so it's Social Worker Month. Happy Social Worker Month.
Thank you.
Is there any sort of celebration being planned at Temple for the Social Work Month, or do you go back? Are you involved in the alumni at all?
Well, you know what? I have not been involved in the alumni. I have not been back to Temple. There's a lot of things I'm trying to get back into, like my love of reading. With all the systematic reviews and all the readings, I have not read for pleasure in a while. So I have not seen, I know there was a couple of celebrations up in New York, but I had time conflicts. But yeah, there are some little celebrations going around for a Social Work Month. So that's great that we're celebrated.
Well, I think it's wonderful that you get a month, you know, not that I'm saying nurses only get a week. I'm not comparing. But
yeah,
I think it should be nurses and social worker year, you know, because we are the backbone of the healthcare system. So Tamale, thank you for taking a little time to share the impact that you feel like you're having, because I certainly know that you're having the impact not only in our patients but on our team as well. So thank you for all that you've done.
Oh, thank you. And thank you for entrusting me to make this position as my own and work with such a great team and making sure that our members' needs are being met. It's wonderful. And you know that when you wake up every morning and you enjoy the job that you do, you know that you made the right decision.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you. I appreciate that. And, you know, now that we've had one social worker and we start to look at others, right, you've had an impact on that as well. So pretty soon, you know, be careful what you wish for. You might have a team of social workers.
Yeah. That's a good
All right,
thing,
thank
though.
You. Careful what you wish for. All right. Thank you so much for joining me. And again, happy Social Worker Month.
Thank you, Betty. Appreciate it.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
If you have any questions that you would like us to address in a future episode, please email us at podcast@guardiannurses.com. That email again is podcast@guardiannurses.com. We would love to hear from you. Thank you for joining us this week. You can find the Lighting Your Way podcast on Apple Podcasts, YouTube, Spotify, and Stitcher. If you liked what you heard, tell a friend and leave us a review. You can learn all about Guardian Nurses Healthcare Advocates on our website, guardiannurses.com. So until next time, find some joy in your life, pet all the good doggies and kitties, and remember to tell your people that you love them. Take care.